Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. We've got a lot to get into on the show here today. It's Thursday. I want to mention that I just received, very shortly before going on the air, the word that Larry Hennig has apparently passed away, and we're going to try to find out more information about that, and likely talk about it with Dave Meltzer here on the show. He'll be here in the second segment of the show, and as I noted, just found out about this before we went on the air, so we'll talk about that more here in a bit. As far as the main topics here today, in addition to the death of Larry Hennig, which of course is coming on the heels of the death of the Dynamite Kid, we've got plenty of news from around the world, pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, including SmackDown doing a tremendously terrible rating, 1.948 million viewers on Tuesday night. We've got my new favorite story of all time, this week at least, that we talked about on last night's Wrestling Observer radio show, Vince McMahon showing up at Raw on Monday, rewriting the entire show, because in his mind, well, George H.W. Bush just died. We're here in Texas. We need to give these people some happy endings. So, in fact, the Raw show on Monday was originally designed to be a heavy, heavy heat show, and they changed it because of the death of George H.W. Bush. Not because fans are sick of it, not because you're running off fans in droves, but because they felt that these fans in Texas needed a happy ending. We got updates on Alexa Bliss, NXT TakeOver main event. We've got a ton of notes from UFC. If you're interested in the latest situation with Rachel Ostovich and Greg Hardy being put on the same show together, January at ESPN+. Dana White's talked about this. We've got some notes on a bunch of other UFC news as well, including a fight being moved. And yes, more on how many turns there have been in WWE over the course of the year. Back in a moment to kick it off, Wrestling Observer Live.
Hey, travelers. Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free Page Publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
Attention business owners. Are you struggling while waiting for your customers to pay on their net 30, 60, or 90-day invoices? Can't get a business loan? Have no equity? Bad credit? Or maybe no credit at all? Then you need to call AmeriFactors right now. AmeriFactors will give you cash for your invoices and there's nothing to pay back. We simply buy your account receivables, and if those clients don't pay on the invoices, we take the loss. We give you funds based on your account receivables, not your credit. And 98% of all applicants are approved. It's that simple. With AmeriFactors, there's no more waiting for your customers to pay. We give you the funds up front, then we wait for your customers to pay us. Fund your business today. Call AmeriFactors right now.
800-847-1183. 800-847-1183. 800-847-1183. That's 800-847-1183.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back here in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. Lots to talk about here today. I want to throw out a very quick plug. If you head to my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez, the final Brian and Vinny co-host spot is up right now. The third auction just ended, literally moments ago. Every one of them has gone for over $1,000. All of the money going to Whale Scout. It is a 501c3 nonprofit, so it is a tax deductible. The final co-hosting spot for all of 2019. After this, you can't even think about co-hosting the Brian and Vinny Show until at least 2020. And God knows if there'll be a Brian and Vinny Show in 2020 after all these retro Nitro reviews we've been doing. If you'd like to jump in there, it's up on my Twitter at Brian Alvarez. It's already, we're 13 minutes into this auction. It's at $250, so jump on there right now if you want your opportunity to co-host the show in 2019. Three down. This is the final one. It will end Tuesday at noon, so do not miss out. And the regular fundraiser, a lot of great stuff up there as well. We're totally sold out of books. Apologize for that. But still, got a little bit more money we're trying to make right there to hit our goal. So appreciate everybody. A lot of great stuff there. If you've got somebody who loves wildlife, a lot of great potential Christmas gifts that you can also write off. What better gift to give someone for Christmas than one you don't have to pay taxes on? So check it out on my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. Lots of news to talk about here today. As noted, it appears that Larry the Axe Hennig has passed away at the age of 82. This is not up on our website yet, but it appears to be confirmed, so we'll talk to Dave about that here today. Larry the Axe, as I watch these old retro Nitros, every now and then he shows up there in the front row when they come to Minneapolis, and the place goes crazy for me. He knocks people out for his son, Kurt Hennig. He was an awesome guy and a great wrestler back in the day. Sad to hear about the death of Larry the Axe Hennig. Mike, any thoughts on this?
An absolute legend. If you were a fan back in the late 60s in the Midwest, his team with Harley Race was something else. And, you know, in this era, he probably would have held a world title multiple times, but they didn't change the world title around there that much, especially not with Vern Gagne in charge. So he didn't get that opportunity, but he had a face turn in around 1974 that basically solidified his iconic status, and it's something that Kurt Hennig, his son, obviously passed on, and that's where he became relevant to me and this generation, the kids who grew up in the 80s, because there was the legendary Pro Wrestling USA Kids Classics AWA video that was put out about the Road Warriors that featured a riot, if I'm not mistaken, in Hammond, Indiana, where the crowd went nuts. Hawk got a chair wrapped around his head, and what happened was they had Kurt Hennig tied up in the ropes by his neck, and they started beating on him with a chair. He's bleeding everywhere. His leg is shaking as he's convulsing. His father is in the ring. Baron Von Raschke is in the ring. And then all of a sudden, there are fans in the ring. There are guys fighting with cops. It's a complete scene. But because of that, he's teamed up with his son to face the Road Warriors, and he became relevant then, and then making appearances on Nitro and Raw, being such a figure that everybody enjoyed having around and being able to appear on TV so much up until, if I'm not mistaken, last year he was on with Curtis Axel. It may have even been this year where he made an appearance on the show. I'm pretty sure that Axel lost, actually, in fact, too. But, you know, he kept it, you know, he ended up staying relevant, even though, again, probably most of us have got no real idea, unless you have a catalog of old AWA reel-to-reels, about his actual wrestling career inside the ring.
Got a bunch of text messages and callers here on the line. If you want to talk about that, you're welcome to. If you want to talk about Vince rewriting Raw to make it happy because of George H.W. Bush dying, this has to be one of my favorite stories of 2018 so far. And this person here, by the way, if you're uninterested in WWE, you've been watching New Japan lately, says Excalibur is absolutely fantastic on New Japan commentary. My cup of tea. This led me to question why Steve Corino isn't being used on NXT commentary. NXT commentary is fine. I mean, they have a way that they want to do it with a three-person booth. And given that those are the requirements, it's fine. So I would like to hear Steve Corino do commentary, but I don't want to hear him do commentary on the main roster because he'll be utterly ruined. They've once again ruined Corey Graves. They've ruined Renee Young. Everyone else there is pretty much ruined. It's a sad state of affairs. So we just take what we can get, and I think the NXT commentary is fine.
I just like to hear him, like, pull tapes out of the library and commentate over them with, like, a couple of people. I think that would be fun, even though I'm sure it's something that they maybe have tried and haven't gone with. But, boy, I'd love to see a round table of, like, guys like him and, you know, Jimmy Jacobs isn't there anymore, but the Adam Pearces and other guys that happen to be there as agents, especially guys who are down in NXT, Borash, guys just sitting around watching this old stuff out of the library and talking about it and how it could relate to today. God, that would be amazing listening for me, but I doubt it's something that
sounds
happen.
Like our audio shows here on the site.
There are plenty, though, including one with Jacques Rougeau that was dug out of the archives of the olden days of Wrestling Observer Live in the IATA era. It's amazing.
IATA.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You said IATA.
Ico?
I cannot stand for mispronunciations on the show. Caller, you're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, Brian. Hey, Mike. It's Tony from Philadelphia. Brian, I'm really excited right now. Do you want to know why?
Why is that?
Because I am looking forward to co-hosting a Retro Raw and Nitro show.
Wow, you won!
I am the winner of the third auction. So
congratulations.
Congratulations,
and thank
you. I wanted to announce my cash-in ahead of time. I am going to pick the Viagra on a Pole Retro Nitro. It was held in 2000, so I am really looking forward to that one.
It was held in 2000. Okay, so yeah, we're 1999. Okay, so yeah, that works.
Not Judy Bagwell.
Do you know the exact day?
I believe it was in May or June, and it was Shane Douglas and Billy Kidman, if I recall.
All right. Well, you send me an email, and we'll put that on the calendar.
Man, my man, next year, spread some of that money out a little bit and get one of the actual hosts on the site to host a show with Brian and Vinny. That would be nice.
What are you talking about? I've had Filthy on and Lance. What are you trying to get at?
We've had Filthy and Lance and Lance and Filthy.
Mike, you can always just fly out to Bothell and be on the show yourself, you know? I'm sure Brian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Who's writing that one off?
Oh, you're killing me, Mike. If you didn't peek the mic, maybe I'd let you be on one of the other shows. All right, caller, anything else?
Yeah, my main point was about All Elite Wrestling.
Turn the wrong guy down.
The one thing I noticed was that if you watch the Being the Elite, Nick had a premonition. Normally his premonitions will foreshadow future events. And what they showed was that the premonition was all planning All In. It was shots of All In, and it was just them celebrating All In. So what I think is going to happen on January 1st, and this is just my opinion, is that this is all a red herring. The Elite's going to stay where they are, and the January 1st announcement is going to be the announcement of All In 2. So that
this absolutely could happen. This absolutely could happen. I mean, listen, here's the deal, everybody. I want to thank you very much for the call and congratulate and thank you again. Here's the deal with this All Elite thing. We've mentioned this a million times, okay? I'm not saying, and I've never said, that there's no chance that there will be an All Elite Wrestling. All I have said, and I stand by this, is that if they don't get a national broadcast television deal, there will not be an All Elite Wrestling, period, okay? Now, if tomorrow, today, yesterday, they make that deal, there will be an All Elite Wrestling. It's like, that's it. That's the whole story. If they get the deal, there's an All Elite Wrestling. If they don't get a deal, there's not an All Elite Wrestling. Now, obviously, I'm leaning towards there's not going to be an All Elite Wrestling, because you look at all of the different promotions and, you know, MLW, Ring of Honor. I mean, think about what they did on WGN. They didn't come out of that with a television deal. Billy Corgan is Billy Corgan. He can't get anything resembling a television deal for the NWA. I mean, it's possible that somebody will want All Elite Wrestling. But right now, there's no evidence that any big major television network is going to want to, or cable network is going to want to pick them up. But if they do, it's going to happen. And if not, I don't think they're going to WWE. So I think they'll all probably re-sign with New Japan and make the All Elite 2 announcement in January. I think these are our options. Back in a moment with Big Dave, Wrestling Observer Live.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. That's 800-296-1252.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days, and anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now. 800-428-1570.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1-week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer is joining us here today. And not 100% confirmed, Dave, but it seems that Larry the X Hennig has passed away.
That was very sad. He was a big star in the AWA, especially. He wrestled all over the world, obviously, but he was state champion high school wrestler. Vern Gagne recruited him into pro wrestling. His big break would have been in the '60s when the Bruiser and the Crusher feuded with Larry Hennig and Harley Race, the Dolly Sisters, over the AWA World Tag Team Championships. And he was always kept strong. I mean, from the '60s into the early '80s, he did some father and son stuff with his son Kurt, and had a very good career. He worked a lot in real estate as well, and tried to promote wrestling in Phoenix at one point. But tough guy. His rep in wrestling was he was a tough guy. You know, his saying used to be that there's every year at Christmas, the 10 toughest guys in the world send each other Christmas cards, and every Christmas I get 9 Christmas cards. So
stealing that line.
What?
I'm stealing that line this year.
It's a great line.
It was a great line. Yeah, yeah. They used to in the '60s and '70s, if like fans attacked wrestlers or something in the AWA. I'm not sure if this was in every city, but in certain cities, the cops would bring the fans in the back and they would put them in a room with Larry Hennig and they would just close the door. And that was how it was taken care of, which is kind of, he was one of the real tough guys, big 300-pound guy. And, of course, everyone knows his son Kurt and his grandson, Curtis Axel, in WWE.
Dave, I was telling Brian earlier, there's the famous Road Warriors, Kurt Hennig tied up in the ropes angle that led to a mini riot in Indiana in the 80s, which led into those Larry Hennig and Kurt Hennig matches against the Road Warriors, who at the time had a very pronounced reputation for being quite difficult to work with. And there was always talk about guys being put in the ring to try to slow them up or to try to teach them something, whether it be a Billy Robinson, a Brad Rangins, a Crusher Blackwell, guys like that. Larry Hennig and Kurt Hennig, was that one of the reasons that they were put in there with the Road Warriors, to one, try to get them to because of the Robbinsdale connection, or was that part of the reason to slow them down a little bit and to try to teach them some discipline?
Not really. It was more the idea of a father and son thing, and also the Road Warriors would sell for Larry because, I think, it was just one of those things where Larry's rep was to be a big, tough guy, so you can't, make a fool of him, And Kurt's job was to sell like crazy for them, so that's kind of how it was a way to get Kurt kind of into the mix, into the tag team title mix. Bring Larry back to do that stuff. I mean, the problem with Kurt early on, and he did overcome it, was that, people saw him as Larry's son, and Larry was, the guy who would get all the glory spots because he was the, the one that they believed in. But in the long run, Kurt, you really would rather have the young guy get the glory spots, but it really wasn't possible at that point. But Kurt, graduated to being AWA champion and all that after that.
Should mention, by the way, as regards tough guys, Filthy Tom Lawler, his splint comes off in 3 weeks. Didn't even need surgery for that broken hand. So that's the latest on him. And on the subject of MMA, Dave, what's going on here with this ESPN Plus fight with which fight is being moved? The Dillashaw fight. What's going on here?
They needed a main event, so they moved it up a week. So now the 26th pay-per-view doesn't have a main event. Yeah, ESPN... I think that they just felt that the show didn't have a main event. the biggest fight on the card.
Dude, if that's going to be an issue with this ESPN deal, then this is going to be one volatile relationship. You know how many shows I look at and I go, this isn't a main event?
Yeah, no, it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of pressure. ESPN's going to want big matches, and I think they're going to push harder than Fox did. That's kind of like, so it's going to be very interesting. Yeah, they moved to main event for a pay-per-view up a week, so it could be on the first ESPN Plus show. But, ESPN and UFC are really earmarking that January 19th because the idea is that it's the first ESPN Plus show, and they're counting on this show to drive lots and lots and lots of subscriptions to ESPN Plus because the main card will be on only streaming. It will not be on television. They're actually going to use television. ESPN's using its television of the prelims to get people to buy the streaming service. So that's a very unique. And that's the first show they're going to do it, but they're going to do a lot of shows like that.
So,
I wonder if they're going to do the NCAA tournament like that. They actually had a Penn State meet earlier on this year that wasn't on the Big Ten Network that they actually aired on there, too. I wonder if that's a direction they're going to turn because they know people like me. I mean, as far as, like, need, can you see them going in that direction where it's going to be they're slowly going to start chipping away at other programming to put it on there, that type of niche programming, because it's really going to force people to go do it?
Yes, I do. I think this is the experiment, and it's going to lead to doing that with other sports. Yeah, you know, I think it'd be hard for the major sports just because of the public outcry, but like something that's new, anything that's new, I think that that's kind of like a tactic they'll probably start taking, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, let's talk about this for a second. So right now they've already got an issue with star power. So they're going to be putting their biggest stars on pay-per-view, and they're going to be running a bunch of events on a streaming service. So like, how do you even create new stars to then put on pay-per-view in your streaming service if you're only running on pay-per-view in a streaming service? This would be like if WWE lost television and they tried to run everything on the WWE network.
Well, they're still going to have all the prelims, and they're going to have several ESPN shows that will be, they'll be like maybe 12 pay-per-view prelims, 10 ESPN regular shows, and maybe several other ESPN shows that will lead to this streaming service.
So basically you've got 10 shows a year where you can really create a star on television.
There's a lot less live television on regular television than we've been having, yes. A lot less.
I mean, is part of this deal the fact that, I mean, you're really going to rely on a multi-platform, and I hate to use buzzwords, a multi-platform approach and the push of ESPN using every outlet and using ABC and doing things like that to try to, I mean, using that to push the deal and trying to get the value that way?
I haven't heard anything with ABC, but I think one of the things that they think will happen, and probably will, is that ESPN will cover it. So, I mean, when Brian's talking about, like, making stars, in a sense, you're not going to see them fight as much, but you're going to see them more visible in public platforms because they'll be...
Was it Good Morning America or something?
What?
I mean, but using like Good Morning America and having them co-host sports centers and doing that where like that's how they're going to try to also...
Fighters?
I haven't heard any of that, but I mean, I suppose that that's possible, yeah. But I haven't heard any... No one's brought that kind of stuff up to me at all, but the idea of them being on Sports Center, you know, the week of the fight, or a lot more coverage, you know, because... Now, like, yes, ESPN would cover a big fight or a pay-per-view, but I think that if the show's on ESPN itself, you know, which is going to be, the pay-per-views plus, you know, the streaming shows and things like that, it's going to be, you know, probably 40 shows a year. I think that, like, the main eventers and people like that, you know, every week will probably be on SportsCenter, and you'll have a lot more coverage of it. So, and ESPN coverage was always a big boon when it came to the big fights, I thought, as far as, like, getting people to buy. So it's different, you know, it's like, but yeah, as far as like seeing undercard guys that may impress you on free television and go, hey, I really like that guy, for undercard guys, yes, you'll probably be seeing less of that. Well, you will be seeing way, way, way less of that.
Not to set you off here, but Dana White today said Rachel Ostovich totally cool with Greg Hardy being on the same show as her, the January ESPN Plus debut.
She kind of has to say that. You know what I mean? I can't imagine, you know. I mean, it's hard to believe that would be the case. But, yeah.
I got a real Charlotte Reed vibe, and I'm sorry to compare the two, but that's what I got, where it's like she's got a broken orbital bone, and I'm sure she would like some money, and I'm sure this is a big opportunity.
It's a huge opportunity for her because realistically, she's not a main...
But it wouldn't be a huge opportunity the next month?
You could still do it, but, you know, this is the big show. This is the first one. They really want the two pretty girls on the big show, on that first show. That's, you know, one of the key aspects of the marketing of it. But, yes, that fight would be much better off a month later. Just to let her heal up, even though she says she wants to fight, and she does want to fight. I mean, that's not made up. You know, the UFC didn't force her to fight on this show. She wants to prove that, you know, this won't stop her from fighting. But for her own health, she'd be much better off fighting a month later.
Well, here's the thing to think about, too, okay? I broke my orbital bone. And if I broke... I think she had her orbital bone broken in November.
Mid-November.
Mid-November. She's going to be fighting in January, okay?
So it's essentially 2 months.
Okay, so I mean, obviously there are different levels of broken orbital bones. It can be cracked, it can be blown out, there's a whole bunch of different things. So if it's not a serious broken orbital bone, yes, she could fight in January, but the issue is not so much that she could fight in January, but there's a period of time where she shouldn't even be training.
Exactly. She's not gonna have the full training camp. That's
yes.
part of the key.
Yes.
And it's even a question if she should fight. I mean, it's different from pro wrestling. You fight in that fragments of the bone. You know, it's still dangerous if it's not fully healed.
All right. What else do we got in the New Observer coming up this week?
Well, a lot on Dynamite Kid, a lot on just the New Japan Tag Team Tournament, the XFL, the a lot of WWE injuries and injuries around the world, and a lot of different history pieces. Big stuff on. A lot more on Larry Madison outside of wrestling, not as much in wrestling. So it's just a ton of news in this one.
All right. Well, thanks so much for doing the show here today. We are out of time, everybody. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live.
This is Bully Ray.
This is Jay Lethal.
Dalton Castle from Ring of Honor.
To tell you that Honor Club.
Honor Club is the ultimate ROH experience.
Treat yourself this holiday season and get live streaming of ROH on tour events like Honor Reigns Supreme.
Also, get on-demand access to past Ring of Honor events. Out-of-print compilations.
50% off pay-per-views.
And more.
Or better yet,
go VIP. And receive every major pay-per-view for free,
including Final Battle.
Honor Club is more than a network. Skip the line for pre-sale ticket access to live events and receive 15% off at ROHProShop.com on exclusive apparel, DVDs, replica championships, and more.
Go to ROHHonorClub.com.
ROHHonorClub.com.
Or open the ROH app now. Available on all Apple and Android devices and Roku.
We are Honor Club, and honor is real.
The holidays are so full of cheer, there's barely time to make dinner. So order the Chili's 3-for-$10 deal to go.
Take Chili's to go, baby, go, baby, go.
You'll sing when you get an entree, starter, and Coke for just $10.
3-for-$10, baby, bucks, baby, bucks.
Order Chili's for the whole family.
Mom, dad, and kids, baby, kids, baby, kids.
And relax with Chili's at home.
While you sit on your butt, baby, butt.
Hey, not in front of the kids.
3-for-$10, baby, bucks, baby, bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And take your Chili's to go, baby, go, baby, go.
Available at participating restaurants only.
I had great results. I lost 70 pounds. I weighed 265 and went down to 195. My doctor told me, if it works for you, then do it. A lot of people say to me, how did you lose the weight? I said, I take Andro 400 every day. I'm going to take it forever.
That was Walt talking about Andro 400. Now listen to what Bob has to say.
When you listen to your radio commercials, you say that's not possible, but since I've experienced it, your commercials aren't strong enough. I am 76, and I've had a belly for way too long. My whole body is shrinking. My energy level has gone up, and the only thing different is Andro 400. It's great stuff. I tried other products, and nothing happened.
Guys, if you'd like to lose stubborn belly fat, gain energy, and feel years younger, try Andro 400, the safe, natural, and affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435. andro400.com.
Watching the game? Think you know what's going to happen next? Well, it's about time you got paid for being right. Introducing WinView, the number one live TV sports prediction platform. Answer props during the game while competing against your friends and other fans, and you can win cash. Head to predictsports.tv to start playing now. And check out the weekly $10,000 Monday Night Football main event. That's predictsports.tv. Watch, predict, win at predictsports.tv.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. So I give us a call, 1-800-878-PLAY is the sports byline, 844-411-5411 is the studio line, both toll-free, and text message is 425-780-7566. Go to the phones here in a moment, Got a bunch of things to talk about. By the way, I want to mention it last night. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm a worker of the caliber of the Dynamite Kid or Chris Benoit. That would be ridiculous. But last night, Dave's talking about the Dynamite Kid on the show. He's talking about how he influenced all of these men. And he goes, all these wrestlers today, like, they say they were influenced by, like, Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, but nobody wrestles like Shawn Michaels. Which, by the way, I think everybody would like to wrestle like Shawn Michaels, but nobody even understands why Shawn Michaels was great. That's another story entirely. And he starts talking about the Dynamite Kid and what he did, and then he talks about Benoit being a clone. And then he starts saying, you know, Benoit threw all those chops and that snap suplex and all those aggressive kicks. And I was like, look at me. Like, have you watched that Marco stunt match? I didn't even think about it until after Dave's talking about this. I throw kicks the exact same way that Benoit did. I did the German suplex. I did the snap suplex. And I chopped the guy all around the ring. Like, I didn't even think about this yesterday when we were talking about the Dynamite Kid. But you watch my matches, and there are all of those influences right there in my matches. Something I never even thought about. I didn't go in there trying to be Chris Benoit or the Dynamite Kid. But there were, like, a lot of things that I watched those matches for years and years and years and years and years. You know how many Benoit matches I watched in my lifetime? And I would watch these matches, and I was never going to do a diving headbutt off the post to the floor. But I watched a lot of these matches, like Bret Hart matches, Shawn Michaels matches. I'd watch these matches and I'd think, okay, well, what could I do that these guys are doing in here? Like, I can't obviously be Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Chris Benoit, Ric Flair, whoever, but what can they do that I can do? And so I ended up doing the flip bump in the corner that Shawn Michaels used to do. I did the chops that Benoit used to do. I did the snap suplex that Benoit and Dynamite Kid did. Like, all of my offense were just things that I stole from, like, these four guys. But none of it, I might add, was that headbutt off the post to the floor. I thought, you know what? I could probably have some pretty good matches without killing myself. Anyway.
Hey, those tag teams of the 80s, none of them were together as long as their influences lasted, that's for sure. Whether it be Tully and Arn or the British Bulldogs or a lot of those teams that all peaked around the same time. You know, between 80, 83, 84, 85, and probably, you know, ending around 88, you know, that last Crockett Cup at best. And the de-emphasis on tag teams. But you go back and watch the British Bulldogs and that snap suplex that I practice on friends and little brothers and body pillows a zillion times. And that Davey Boy Smith, that quick over power slam and stuff like that. I mean, the influence of those matches, again, it went a lot longer than really than their careers lasted for. I mean, talking about yesterday, they were only a team in WWE for about a year and a half before Dynamite was hurt and then it was all over with. I don't think it was much longer than that.
I really think about, like, my own wrestling and who I got everything from. My selling is everything that I used to see Bret Hart do when he sold. And my finish was Shawn Michaels' finish. And most of my offense was a lot of the stuff that Chris Benoit did. And I had a couple of spots where I was selling like Ric Flair did. Now, obviously, putting all of those different guys together, I wasn't better than all of them or anything like that or anything close. But when I really think about it, like, those were the four influences. And obviously, at least two of them, their lineage is the Dynamite Kid, basically. Bret and Chris Benoit. So there you go.
You always had the psychology of Jake Roberts.
Get out
of
here.
Too, boss.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. They're going to bury me. What's your opinion, this person says, of Jim Cornette's comments on David Arquette? To summarize, he said David was exposing the business by giving the idea that anyone could come in and wrestle a match instead of there being a few people who actually can, and that people who continue to work the high-risk death-style matches could end up getting wrestling regulated in the event of serious injury or death. All right,
well,
two things.
That was loose, too, because I heard it, and I don't think that's necessarily all the way fair.
Well, I don't know what he said, but I'll say this about these two statements here. David Arquette has been training for a long time. He's been training. He goes in there, and he trains. Like, he's trying to actually be a pro wrestler. He's not some guy that's like a guest host on Raw, and they put him in a match, and somebody carries him through the match, and then he wins over some star. Like, that's not what's happening here. For whatever reason, David Arquette has it in his mind that wrestling fans hate him because he was a WCW champion. I mean, that's ridiculous. Nobody thinks that. But so he decided, I must come back and prove myself. He went in there, he trained. He trained. He's been doing matches. He's been working regularly, and he's continued to train. So he's not just some guy coming off the street beating guys. And as far as the death match that he was involved in, if you guys remember correctly, he wasn't even supposed to be in that match. He was scheduled for another match. I forget what it was, but somebody was injured or pulled out or something like that. And so he ended up being in there with Nick Gage. And he didn't even know what the hell was going on. So he goes in there and he was taken into Nick Gage's world, practically got killed. And he said he's never going to do it again. So those are my comments on
good. And I, you know, that was a show that had to change a venue because Nick Gage was on it, and they went through opponent changes, and then ultimately with David Arquette. And one of the things that Cornette was not happy was it was one of the things that Hurricane Helms was not happy with, which was, you know, forget about whether or not David Arquette wanted to do it, and obviously he did, and obviously he should not have been in that position. But that's where they really are putting the blame on, you know, GCW, Nick Gage, and anybody else that'd be involved, because you're putting a guy in a spot where something like that could have happened, and it certainly did. So, you know, Jim Cornette is going to be the lightning rod for this because of how he puts himself out there for some of this stuff. But, I mean, there were a lot of legitimate questions that probably could have been raised there, and things that in hindsight should have never been done.
Versus Daniel Bryan gave me a cult leader type of vibe. Regardless of whether he's right or wrong in his message, no one likes being preached to or scolded at. Therefore, he's getting booed in an era of main roster where the heels are considered the faces. He's that great.
Jimmy Jones with Bray Wyatt as a bodyguard.
Once again, it's not the era. It's not the era. It's the main roster. They're so bad at the basic psychology of baby faces and heels that the wrong people are cheered all the time. But guess what? Guess who understands psychology? Daniel Bryan. So yeah, he's a smart guy. He admitted in his promo. People say I'm a smart guy, he says. Well, they're right.
He is.
He managed. First off, he turned heel, which was the smartest thing he could have done in this day and age. And then he understands how to manipulate the fans to actually get them to do what he wants. Listen, everybody, if you didn't watch SmackDown this week, and most of you didn't based on the ratings, what I want you to do is I want you to go back there and I want you to watch the Daniel Bryan promo, okay? The whole promo is great, all right? But what I want you to do is watch him shut down the What Chants. It's incredible. He ruins these fans. So that alone is worth watching SmackDown for. Bert says, I saw the Matt Riddle Punishment Martinez match last night. It was really good for a quick match. Do you know if they plan on pushing Martinez, or is he going to get the Dijak treatment, like a name change and all that? We'll see. I don't know. Like, Dijak obviously got a name change. Matt Riddle's not getting a name change. It just all depends on what they want to do with the guy.
I don't know if Punishment Martinez rolls off the tongue. I can see them actually just making him Punishment.
I love that
or
name.
Something. I don't know if it's a WWE. I don't know if I can see Vince loving that one, if just cutting it short so he's just one word. Either Punishment or Martinez, both of which I could see them actually doing.
Oh, I see here. Hamish says, I did say main roster. Faces get cheered in NXT and everywhere else. I apologize, Hamish. You're right. I read it back. I was wrong. This person here says, Brian, are you about to become a top 10 U.S. indie worker by default in 2019? I very well could. By the end of 2019, I could be by default the best indie worker in this country. Because I may be the only one. I'll take that. If that's what it takes to get me in the PWI 500, I'll do it. All right, let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
Hi, Brian and Mike. This is Josiah from Canada.
Yes, Josiah.
How you guys doing?
Excellent.
So, speaking of baby faces and heels and all that, I know you made the call out yesterday about how many turns there have been in WWE.
Oh, funny you mentioned that. I was going to read your thing here today. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
You do
all right.
It.
Yes. So, All right. So I did send it to you in an email. I did a breakdown of it, and I included every one of the wacky Drake Maverick heel on Raw babyface on 205 Live. And I also did it for Leo Rush, which he was for a little while.
Let me jump in there before you keep going, okay? Some people are going to say, well, Brian, that's not fair. He didn't turn every single week when he goes back and forth. I argue that is fair. If you've got two shows and a guy is a babyface on one show and a heel on the other show, to me that absolutely counts because that's ridiculous. Go ahead, Josiah.
Yeah, that was my reasoning behind it too, actually, because it's insane. It doesn't make any sense, considering they're also in the same continuity, I suppose, on the main roster. But the number I ended up coming up with, which I actually think is low because I did not count all the foolishness with Bayley and Sasha earlier in the year, which was just hard to figure out anyways, I came up with 105 turns.
Oh. That's not counting any of those days where, like, Bayley turned, but then Sasha turned on Bayley, and, like, Bayley was clearly going to be the heel, but then she was the babyface. Does that count Charlotte?
I counted, I think, one of Charlotte's turns, but I only counted Bayley and Sasha twice each. But there was a lot more than twice there. And
okay.
I did include NXT, but NXT only had 16 turns.
Wow. So this obviously doesn't count, like, on SmackDown Thursday when Charlotte cut a heel promo but then wrestled as a babyface.
Correct.
Okay. What about when the Big Show punched out Cesaro? Did that count as a turn?
I counted that one.
Okay. I think that one was a turn, but he's vanished.
But that's the thing is we don't know if it's a turn yet. This is a turn. How would you call it? In absentia? I mean, how do we know?
Unless I don't know.
He goes out there and he's hanging out with somebody else next. That could just be heels punching out another heel.
So what you're saying, Josiah, is realistically, like, we're well over 110 turns in 2018.
Realistically, yes.
Oh, my God. Ugh. Josiah, I want to thank you so much for your call and your hard work. I very much appreciate it. The show is a mess. It's still better than Nitro. Do you understand, everybody? I will not hear otherwise. First goes, it boggles my mind SmackDown isn't beating Raw's viewership on a regular basis. Well, I've said this before, everybody. It makes people mad, but yes, SmackDown was much better than Raw this week. Okay? But, like, the guy on Twitter, I just had to shut this guy down on Twitter. He's trying to tell people that SmackDown is a great show. It's not a great show. If you compare it to Raw, it's way better than Raw. But it isn't even way better than Raw every week. Like, some weeks I watch that show and it's like, God, this show sucks. They both suck. They happen to have a good show this week. But the reality is, I mean, unless you're a super hardcore fan that watches Raw and SmackDown, like, if you watch Raw, SmackDown's better. Why aren't people watching this show? But if you don't watch Raw, like, SmackDown's, it's fine. Sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's good. And it also follows Raw. So a lot of fans who watch 3 hours of that Raw show, they're like, I can't watch two more hours on Thursday. I just can't. That's why. Back in a moment, Observer Live.
Attention business owners. Now is the perfect time to start saving money on your cable TV bill for your business. We can give you packages with up to 90 great channels and save your business a ton of cash. And if you call right now, you can learn how to get free equipment and free installation. Now you have choices. It's time to start saving money on your cable TV bill for your business. And call today and get 90 channels plus free equipment and free installation. Smart business owners like you all across the country are consolidating and saving money on their cable TV, internet, and phone service for their business. So now's the perfect time. This may be a limited time offer to the first 100 people that call right now. So please save money and call now.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to The Secret War, a new Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free. Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Pick up your phone and call right now. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. Once again, that's 800-932-5517.
Remember in the beginning, when you first started to build a life for you and your family, you never imagined it would come to this. Instead of living your dreams, you're living with debt. In fact, it's smothering you. Now there's a way you can take back control with one simple call. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you qualify to receive a free, no-obligation consultation on how to get rid of that debt for good. Call the Debt Helpline now. We work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. One simple call is all it takes to get the ball rolling to a debt-free life. Stop living with debt and start living your dreams. Call the Debt Helpline now.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. That's 800-957-6063.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. This person says you should challenge David Arquette during Mania Weekend. Hey, I've challenged David Arquette many times. I never get an answer.
He's a coward.
I don't know if he's a coward.
No, I meant you.
Oh, get out of here. I mean, I don't want to break kayfabe or anything, but like, I saw David Arquette's last match. He'd be much better off wrestling me. It's just a fact.
This is true.
I mean, I would not slice his throat with anything. I guarantee it.
You tried to tell Marco Stunt that, too, and look what Marco did. Took himself out of a payday like a fool trying to act that way. I think he may have intentionally hurt himself to get out of the match with you, boss. He's scared of you and filthy.
David Arquette subbed for an injured Joey Ryan, this person notes. By the way, the Defy show coming up next Friday. Not this coming Friday. Friday after. The night before the Defy holiday party with myself, Filthy Tom Lawler, and Lance Storm. They've got a huge card scheduled, including Brian Cage versus my student, Jack Evans. If you don't believe me, head to my Wikipedia. It notes I trained Jack Evans, because I did. And on that day, I will be in Jack Evans' corner. He doesn't even know this yet. Are you aware of that? He doesn't know this. But I'm booking myself in his corner to help him be victorious over Brian Cage. I was supposed to have a match on that show, as everyone's well aware. It was me and a partner versus Marco Stunt and a partner of his choosing. My partner was going to be Jack Evans. But now I don't have a match because Marco got hurt. But I'm going to be there for all of my fans in Jack Evans' corner, and we together will defeat the machine, Brian Cage. You heard it here first. Second, actually, because I talked about it yesterday on the Filthy Show. That's why you should be a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com, everyone. The best. The number one. Wrestling Observer number one. Just like number one Paul Jones.
Ichiban.
Check it out. And we're out of here, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. Wrestling Observer Live.